Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Blišč in beda po azerbajdžansko. Lepo pozdravljeni v južni hemisferi. V današnji oddaji se bomo bolj podrobno posvetili aktualni politični situaciji v Azerbajdžanu. Z naftnimi viri bogata država je namreč v zadnjih letih deležna konstantnih obtožb o kršitvah človekovih pravic in koruptivnosti vladajoče elite, predvsem strani nevladnih organizacij, ki se ukvarjajo s tovrstno problematiko. O stanju v Azerbajdžanu smo se pogovarjali z raziskovalno novinarko Kadijo Ismailovo, ki že dlje časa poroča o delu predsednika Ilhama Alijeva, ljudeh okoli njega in koruptivnih poslih, s katerimi se ukvarjajo. Ujeli smo jo, ko se je vrnila z sodišča, kjer je bila dodeljena precej visoka denarna kazen zaradi udeležbe na nedavnih protestih. Povprašali smo jo o vzrokih za protest in dogajanju na njih ter na sodnem procesu.
26. I was detained in the rally. I attended a rally as a citizen. It was a rally against police violence because a couple days before the police used excessive force, tear gas and rubber bullets against people in town of Ismaili, which is in westward from Baku. So we went to the street to tell the police that violence is not the best way to talk to citizens. And, well, police used violence against us. Not tear gas and not rubber bullets, of course, but they prevented the rally. They basically dispersed everyone who were walking in groups. And I was detained. And they kept me for almost 8 hours in the police. Then they took me to the court, and court decided that I have to pay 400 manats, which is equal to 400 euros penalty for attending a peaceful rally. There was no violence. There was nothing against the law. They just decided that if we are attending an unauthorized rally, that's a crime. So penalty was decided as 400 manats. Some people were, mine was okay, it was just 400 manats. Some people got fined 2,500 manats. It's very high. It's very high for Azerbaijan. The pension in Azerbaijan is 93 manats. So it means that a normal pensioner would have to wait 5 months, not eating anything, not paying bills, to be able to pay this fine. So these penalties are aimed to discourage public activity, to discourage public protest and citizens' activity. Well, and actually, the police report that was used for the that was used as a basis for this sentence by the court was fake, because police was telling that I was arrested in one square, in Fountain Square while I was arrested in totally different square. It was fake police arrest, fake judgment, fake court hearing. I was forced to use the state appointed lawyer. My defense lawyer was outside of the court, and he was not allowed in. They forced me to. I reject this lawyer that was appointed by the state to represent me in my case, and the judge just ignored it. So it was illegal. Everything was illegal from very beginning to the very end. So we 10 people decided that we are in the campaign of the civil disobedience. We don't pay this fine because we consider it anti-constitutional. We consider it inadequately high. The people who behead the dog get fined by Azerbaijani court with 25 manats, which is 25. You can cut dog's head off, and they will give you penalty of 25 manats. But you protest in the street, you get fined, you get the penalty 2500.
Ismailova in njeni somišljeniki so se skupaj odločili za državljansko nepokorščino, saj menijo, da si kazni niso zaslužili.
Well, this civil disobedience campaign is just we decided that we don't pay this fine. This is our silent protest. We just don't obey this rule. Well, that may bring some illegal, that may cause some actions by the government, and so far whatever they have done about this was illegal. They go to, for example, the protester is not paying the fine, they go to his father's house and seize father's property.
Why is the government exactly trying to suppress your protest? Why is it afraid of them?
It's not about my or someone else's protest. They try to suppress any protest. They don't tolerate any protest in this country, and that's a problem. We rallies have not been authorized, I don't know for how many years here. We haven't seen any rallies any protest rallies in the street, in the central part of the city since 2005, since 2005, actually. So the government says, if you want to protest, you have to go outside of the city to the outskirts and to the remote stadium with no transportation there. They say you have to go and protest there. And that's ridiculous. People don't want to go to the middle of nowhere because they want the government to hear their protest.
Ismailova se je zaradi tem, o katerih poroča, že velikokrat znašla pod velikimi pritiski. Povprašali smo jo o stanju na področju novinarstva v Azerbajdžanu, spregovorila pa je tudi o grožnjah, ki jih je bila deležna zaradi svojega dela.
How are independent journalists and journalists in general treated in Azerbaijan?
Well, that's very difficult in Azerbaijan. It depends on which topics you cover. If you go as far as the president and his family, then it can be very dangerous. One journalist had been killed in 2005, and that was Elmar Huseynov, the editor of the Monitor magazine. The Monitor magazine would publish stories about president's family and corruption. Well, I was blackmailed. They planted a hidden camera in my bedroom and then posted And then first they threatened me and then posted it online, the footage of the sex scene with my boyfriend. In Azerbaijan, it's a big deal because predominantly Muslim country, it's very conservative society, and if you're not married, you're not supposed to have sex.
And how come you decided that you want to reveal that the government is blackmailing you or is threatening you?
I was not the first one. It happened to others they managed to silence them. I decided to go very loud about it, to go really, really loud about it, because I can't say I had decent choice, because I would have to keep silent if I wouldn't be loud, and that's not the choice for me. I don't want to live scared.
And how did the public accept that? Were they on your side or were they against
you?
Well,
yes, surprisingly, yes. I didn't expect that, but even the Islamic Party of Azerbaijan made a statement defending my right to privacy and condemning the government's actions against journalists.
Azerbajdžan je predsedniška republika. Po desetletni vladavini predsednika Hejdara Alijeva je mesto šefa države nasledil njegov sin Ilham, ki je na predsedniškem položaju od leta 2003. Obenem pa vodi tudi vladajočo politično stranko, imenovano Nova Azerbajdžanska stranka. Vsake volitve je Ilham Alijev sicer dobil s prepričljivo večino, vendar je opozicija njegove zmage vsakokrat označila za neveljavne. Novinarka Ismailova ima o vladajoči opciji in stanju demokracije v državi svoje mnenje.
How would you describe the regime in Azerbaijan?
It's an autocracy. We call our president democrator. It means a dictator who pretends being democrat. Azerbaijan is a part of Council of Europe. Our president shakes hands with European leaders. They are in all European clubs, but they run the country as a Middle East medieval monarchy. You know, our president inherited power from his father. His family owns almost everything, and that's what I've been investigating. I discovered his family members, offshore companies and companies in Azerbaijan through which they control the very large part of economy. They monopolized economy fields, so nobody else can earn money. And that's what I mean. It's not out of greed. They don't do it because they are so greedy. They do it because they don't want anyone else to earn any money in this country. Because economically independent citizen is a threat for their power. When people are not concerned about their daily breadwinning, they start asking questions, they demand their rights, and that's they don't want to happen. That's why they blocked everyone else's access to opportunities.
How much public support does the president have?
We don't know exactly, because they rig elections, they falsify elections. We had the latest OSCE report on the presidential elections was that the voting results were falsified in more than a third of the polling stations. Well, we never managed to stand for our votes as a society. Even though there were numerous proofs of falsifications, it never helped to prove this. Prove it in the court, because courts are not independent here. They are assigned by the president, and they are dependent of the president, and corruption and political orders are running the court in Azerbaijan. So elections basically don't show anything. Well, independent observers believe that President Aliyev doesn't have public support, and people just ignore elections as a protest because their vote is not counted. So far, opposition has won all elections it attended because the opposition has boycotted lots of elections. But independent observers say that opposition candidates, if elections would be fair in 2010, parliamentary voting, if it would be a fair process, opposition would be majority in the parliament. They say the same about 2005 parliamentary elections, and they say the same about 2003 presidential elections. The other elections were boycotted by opposition. That's a, well, Council of Europe, Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, for example. Slovenia has several members in Parliament, right? In Parliamentary Assembly, right?
Yes.
I guess they were voted for, right?
Yes.
Yeah, elected.
Exactly.
Yes, but all Azerbaijani colleagues of your Slovenian deputies are not elected. Well, we can prove in all cases. We had proofs in all cases. Samet Saidov, the head of the delegation, we had videos showing that people showing ballot stuffing on his favor on the election day. So this is the bizarre, actually. They have the same right to vote in parliamentary assembly as Slovenian parliament members while they are not elected. They are selected, and they basically stole the elections.
Poslušate Južno hemisfero na Radiu Študent, v kateri se tokrat posvečamo aktualni politični situaciji v Azerbajdžanu. Eden izmed preteklih dogodkov, ki je sprožil večje zanimanje za to republiko ob Kaspijskem morju, je zagotovo izbor za pesem Eurovizije, ki je v prestolnici Baku potekal prejšnje leto. Država se je kot gostiteljica skušala evropskemu občinstvu predstaviti v čim boljši luči. Novo priložnost bo Baku dobil že čez dve leti, ko bo gostil prve evropske olimpijske igre. O tem, kakšni dogodki vplivajo na državo, smo se pogovarjali z Ismailovo.
Azerbaijan was in the spotlight last year during the Eurovision Song Contest. Did this big event change anything in terms of respect of human and civil rights, or did it not?
Well, it definitely brought more international attention to our country, and the government thought about it. It doesn't feel as secure as it used to in the past. That's for sure, because civil society was very well organized against the human rights violations, and they made sure that the world, which was the Europe, which was very much interested in song contest, actually has heard about human rights in the context of this song contest. So it basically people felt empowered because they could destroy the government propaganda of the state. Basically, the government spends a lot of money and effort to present the country as a democracy, as a modern European democracy. And civil society managed to show that that's not true. Yes, we want Azerbaijan to be a modern European democracy, they said, but that's not the case yet. We have to do something about that. We have to do something to achieve this goal. And government felt insecure, since Eurovision Song Contest, they are changing laws, limiting all the freedom. So now the NGO legislation has been changed, and it's basically the government made it impossible to accept donations if you. So it's basically impossible to collect donations. It's such a difficult process now, and it only those who are registered as a charity organizations are allowed to accept donations. So the NGO legislation has been changed. It's even more limited now. Then they changed access to information laws, so investigative journalists like me wouldn't be able to get information on ownership of companies. So now in 2015, Azerbaijan is planning to host European Olympics, and we are struggling now to get information on who owns the companies that are contracted for work within these Olympic Games. Because before Eurovision, I did investigations that proved that president's family owns the company that involved in construction of the Crystal Hall, where the song contest took place. So they are trying to limit freedoms even more. They arrested lots of people who've been protesting, and two very famous political figures are now under arrest. So it's getting difficult. It's getting more and more difficult, but they cannot stop the people, despite the fact that people are scared, and the government intimidates everyone who is protesting. People still go to the street and still protest. In regions, there is a huge dissent in regions of Azerbaijan. They are underdeveloped. They are angry that the government pours billions on these shows and Olympics and Eurovisions, while they basically don't have gas to cook, or they don't have roads. So they are very angry, and they are angry that monopolies don't let them to use opportunities in this country. They are not able to invest into the economy of their country. They are not able to earn money in this country, and unemployment, poverty is around the country, and people are angry about this. The government is investing lots of money in making the city center, the boulevard, we call it Belt of Happiness, the road that starts at the airport and ends at the Crystal Hall where the Eurovision Song Contest took place. So the central Belt of Happiness, the government is pouring lots of money on making it shine. And all the foreigners who come to the country, they see these beautiful scenes in the city center, and sometimes they ask me, why you are complaining? Your city is beautiful. Your restaurants are working, and people are happy there. But that's a Belt of Happiness. That's where all the money is spent, actually. Economists say that the vast majority of the money in the country are spent in that particular area. So, the government is spending this money to create a facade. They literally have a wall along the road, so people who come to the country, the foreigners, they wouldn't see poor areas, polluted land plots, polluted land after oil production, poverty. So they literally built a high, beautiful wall so people don't see those things. So, and probably those who came from Slovenia to Azerbaijan during the Eurovision Song Contest, they had very little opportunity to see the real scene, the real life scene in Baku. That's why the government doesn't like it when we expose it. The official of the presidential administration made a very critical speech about those who expose power areas to foreign journalists, and he called on the society, actually the government supporters, to demonstrate public hatred against such people.
Za konec nam je Ismailova zaupala še, kaj po njenem mnenju čaka Azerbajdžan v prihodnosti.
How do you see the future of Azerbaijan? Are there any political changes to happen in near time?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, it is happening. Lots of active people. Lots of people who are people basically fed up. And poverty and unemployment is so unbearable that people go to the street and protest. In town of Ismaili, they were so angry that they burned the hotel owned by nephew of the local governor. The nephew's father, the local governor's brother, is also a minister for social protection. And the hotel, why they burned the hotel? Actually, the hotel was a dorm for poor people. This governor kicked those people out and gave this building, this area, the land plot and the building, to his nephew to build a hotel there. And plus, the guy was drunk and he was insulting people around. So people just fed up. They said they cannot bear it anymore. They burned the hotel. Then now several people arrested, and not only those who basically participated in hotel burning, but also those who were in the street protest next day after the hotel burning. So the government tries to push hard on people, but people protest and still stand firm. And then the president had to give up, and he fired the governor of the region, and he said he made an unaddressed speech saying that he will not tolerate such behavior from state officials' siblings. That's very late. That's very late, because they already lost the control over information thanks to internet and social network. I think it's very late to improve. I think the government should think about exit strategy now. It would be more wise.
Preko telefonskih žic se je za južno hemisfero v Azerbajdžan odpravila Petra Ajdovec.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.